This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
With real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me at Strict Anonymous. I think you could probably find me on Facebook, but I don't really do anything on there. If you're on YouTube, I love YouTube as a platform for my show. Make sure to comment below. I read all of the comments. I try to get back to every single person that comments on my videos. Sometimes I don't for a couple days, but most of the time, I would say 99% of the time, I comment back to everybody. So comment below if you can. If you like the video, make sure to like it. Definitely subscribe to my channel. I post new episodes every Sunday. If you're listening to this on a podcast app, subscribe too if you can. If you want to join Patreon, I have a Patreon page. I have a couple different tiers if you want to support the show, as well as get additional content, anonymous pics of my guests, as well as if you are a pantyhose lover and you have that fetish, you should head over to my Patreon and join, because there's a ton of extra content on there for you. So go to patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The links for all of this stuff is going to be below. This is a call and advice show where I talk to total strangers about all kinds of things. I'm not really looking for callers right now, but I will talk to you if you're a female or if you are a guy and you think you have like the most interesting story that I've ever heard. Send me an email at strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, and I'll tape you. I'll probably be taping again maybe in September or October. So if you wanted to put on an email list to book a time to call in to be on the show in September or October, I'm creating an email list as we speak. So you could send me an email to be on that list, and I'll email you when I start taping again. Today I have on Chad. I think I talked to Chad like last year, end of last year. So there's a tiny little bit of COVID talk, but not more than that. But Chad is a sissy cuck with a micro penis. He also has schizophrenia. I mean, he threw that in his email when he told me, but we don't talk really that much about that. We talk a lot, though, about his micro penis, about his cuck situation, his sissy cuck situation. He's a true cuck in that, like, he likes the humiliation aspect of it. He had an on and off girlfriend for 20 years. They did the whole cuck situation. He would set up guys for her to fuck. He talks all about that. He's bisexual. He just realized it, even though he did fool around with guys when he was way younger. We talked about the first time he fooled around with guys. We talked about when he picked that back up. He's had threesome with guys. He had a bull. Him and his girl had a bull, and he eventually started hooking up with that bull, with her. They're no longer together. He talks a lot about all of his fetishes besides being into being humiliated and being a cuck. And we talk a lot, mostly, about his micro penis. What does that mean? How big is it? How big is it hard? How big is it soft? How do girls react to it? All that kind of stuff. We also talk about his panty fetish, when that started, how he got caught stealing his sister's panties and all that good stuff. And then we talk a little bit about, at the end, you know, his schizophrenia and his issues and his rehab that he's been in and how he kicked alcohol and prescription drugs and how his therapist helped him do that and all that good stuff. So I'm going to be right back on with Chad.
This is the Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Oh, hey, Chad. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. How are you this morning?
Fantastic, actually.
Good.
I'm good.
It's the new year, right? That's when we're taping
yeah.
the new fucking year. Anyway, so you wrote into my show and you said a couple things, I mean, which packed a punch in just like one sentence. You're kind of like, I'm a sissy cuckold with a micro penis who has some, and you're schizophrenic or something like that, right?
I mean, that's a lot. I have it's one of those things like, you know, whenever they ask you to fill in that box, tell you a little bit about yourself. I never know what to put because I always think I'm kind of like a boring guy.
Oh, yeah, you're bisexual. You think you're a boring guy? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I recently kind of discovered like I'm bisexual.
Okay.
Like I have schizoaffective disorder, which is like schizophrenia and bipolar mixed together with like manic depression and anxiety problems. And yeah, the list goes on.
Anyway. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that is a long list. Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you're schizophrenic, does that mean you have a bunch of different personalities?
No. It means like without medication, I tend to kind of have visual and auditory hallucinations.
Oh, interesting. But you're on medication now.
Yeah, yes, medication and counseling. I have a counselor and a psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, but let's get into the sissy. I mean, because like I said, it's a lot of stuff. The bisexual, sissy cuckold with a micro penis. I mean, I have a million questions about that because when I was younger, I had a really good friend of mine who I really liked, but everyone knew I was kind of like a size queen, right? And he was very honest about the fact that he had a micro penis. And I was like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? And he would always like show me like the tip of his pinky finger. And I'd be like, there's no way that's possible. Do you know what I mean? I just thought he was being funny. I don't know. But he never, as much as I could tell he liked me, never wanted to hook up with me because I think it was true. He supposedly, like he really did have a micro penis. I've never talked to somebody that had that.
And well, you are now.
I know. So when you like, what is a micro penis? Explain to people. I went Googling and it really looks like this tiny little, it does look like the tip of a pinky finger or something. Like what, explain at what yours looks like or measure.
Well, I don't know. It looks like a, you know, a normal, circumcised, male penis, only, micro. When it's, soft, it's about 1 inch. And when I'm excited, it's about like 2 3/4 inches. Me and my ex-girlfriend measured it at. Two and three quarters of an inch and about as thick around as your thumb.
Wow. So a really tiny little, like kind of like a baby penis. So like a micro.
Yeah, pretty
right?
much, yeah.
Yeah.
She called it my sissy clit.
All right. Was she cool with it? I mean, did you guys figure out ways, you know, to... Like, how did you fuck her? Like, you know, did you?
Pretty much normally. Like, it's just big enough that, like, you know, I can penetrate a woman and,
yeah.
You know, have fun. Not obviously not as much fun for her as it is for me.
Right.
But, yeah, most normal sex positions actually work. You know, doggy style, missionary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. The only one that, like, didn't really work was her riding cowgirl reverse.
Right.
That just mm-hmm. don't work.
But let me ask you, and I'm, you know, we'll get into all the other, the cuckold thing and everything, but did you, you know, I would assume that having a micro penis, right, would be you know, something that would weigh heavily on you while you're growing up, right? I mean, is it like a secret that you keep to yourself and then you have to like expose it when you want to start dating girls? I would think that there's a lot of confliction well, in your life because of that, right? No?
For quite a while, actually, I didn't give much thought to it. I didn't really notice. I mean, growing up, like, I grew up during the, like, Wild West days of the internet.
Yeah. How old are you?
And so, like, I'm 38.
Okay.
I was born in 82.
Okay.
And so, like, I saw some porn and, like, I didn't know, like, much about sex because my parents never had that talk with me or anything. And, yeah. Like, other than the basic mechanics and health class, I didn't know much about it. But I, like, realized, like, that can't be, like, realistic, you know, like, male porn stars and how huge their dicks are. And, you know, female porn stars and the way they just act like they love getting freaking thrilled.
Yeah.
Some ladies do sometimes, but not all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't really even realize it until I can't remember which event happened first. I think I was like 12 or so at the in the rec center, you know, at the locker room. And like I was kind of always bashful about my body, so I changed quickly to like facing my locker. And I saw this kid about like half my age.
Yeah.
Just like running wild through the locker room and his dad's trying to catch him. And that kid, like just a young white kid, not a black kid here.
Yeah.
Just was like twice as big as me. And I'm like, okay, there's a problem here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, like, very young, I fooled around with a male friend of mine, and, like, he was just way bigger. And then, like...
How old were you when you fooled around with that male friend? Do you remember? What grade?
I think I was, like, 12 or 13, maybe.
And what? How far did that go? I mean, because I've heard a lot of guys talk about these kind of stories that they, you know, that happened. Like, oh, they jerked each other off, you know, at a slumber party.
We did that, we did oral on each other, and that was about it. Because we were curious, but we also like didn't really know a whole lot because he was in the same boat as I was. Like, just no one really had the sex talk with him, and like,
yeah,
it's kind of like a conservative community around here, so there's just. I don't know. Not a whole lot of knowledge.
But how does the first time, how does it happen between you guys the first time? You know, you're friends with a guy? Because it doesn't happen all the time. How does it happen?
A lot of unsupervised time and premium cable. We were watching Real Sex on HBO. And this was like back in the days. It was like Real Sex, like volume one or two. I think.
Yeah. That was like hardcore. You could get like porn without it having to
subscribe. Yeah, it was like basically softcore porn on HBO. Mm-hmm. And we watched that and they were talking about like guys going at it and stuff. And like we were horny enough that just anything to make you come, you know, any port in a storm. So we're like, hey, let's try it. And we did like one or two times and then that was kind of it. Like,
right.
For a long time.
Mm-hmm. As far as you hooking up with guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's get back to the micro penis. Cause we'll get to the guy thing too, because you said you just discovered that you were bi, right? But yet you still, you did have these experiences, you know, when you were younger with guys, and then did you not have any until recently? Cause I think you just said earlier that you figured out you were bi recently.
Yeah, I had that one experience with that one young friend when we were both like around 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And then nothing else really happened until like 2018.
Oh, okay. So that is recently. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
that's when my ex-girlfriend, so we started doing the cuckold thing. That was actually my idea.
Mm-hmm. And that's with you. And like, because listen, a lot of people, I've used the word cuckold and some people say like, oh, there's no humiliation there. It's not a cuckold situation, but some people do use it. You know, there's a confusion with that term. I'm assuming because you're submissive and you use the word sissy that you probably do like the humiliation aspect to
it. Yes, I do.
Right. So that's like the real deal. Cuckold is what you're into.
I don't know. There's a whole lot of variation and like, I don't really adhere strictly to like labels.
Yeah. It's confusing to me because I use it and some people will be like, oh, that wasn't a cuckold situation, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were cuckolding in the sense that she could have sex with other men and I chose not to entertain any other ladies or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I would find well-endowed men for her and she'd have sex with them. Most of the time in front of me, sometimes we had a regular bull. So most of the time it was done in front of me. A few times, like, you know, they'd make dates without me. I set up the dates, so I would set up dates. And they would agree with, to times when basically like I was at work or I had to do some other stuff, and then they'd kind of humiliate me by sending me pictures or video or whatnot, or calling me in the middle of the act.
Uh-huh. And that would be humiliating to and a turn on at the same time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, it would be humiliating and a turn on at the same time.
Right. And the humiliation aspect, is it like when you're playing this out, is it like you don't want her to do it, but she's like, fuck off, I'm doing it anyway? Like, you know, because other people, you know, they have this fantasy and they do and they live it out, but there's no humiliation. Like, what makes it humiliating to you?
The fact that she's with a much bigger, more well-endowed male.
Right, okay.
Be quiet, doggo. Sorry.
It's okay. So because he's way bigger. Mm-hmm.
Because he's way bigger, and she'd say and do things to humiliate me and amp me up. And then, of course, I'd be dressed like a sissy.
Tell that dog to shut the fuck up.
Star, quiet. Sorry.
It's okay. Listen, I have to make a bloopers tape, actually, of all of it. It'll be funny.
Okay, where were we?
You were saying that the humiliation aspect, you said, is because they're way more endowed than you. Is there a conversation about that going on? Like, as far as, oh, look how big your dick is. Like, you know, is that, like, is, you know, does that...
Oh, yeah, she would talk about how much more bigger endowed he was and how, like, basically he owned that pussy now.
yeah, right. That's what I was getting
and,
at.
And
right.
Talk about how he had been, well, deeper everywhere that, you know, in her mouth, her ass, and in her pussy.
Right. How long were you dating this girl for?
Off and on for about 20 years.
Wow. No, you never got married, but you were together.
I don't believe in marriage.
Okay, cool. So you were together for about on and off for 20 years.
Yeah.
Now,
we met when we were 5 years old. She was the girl I played doctor with.
Right. Okay. And when did you, you know, let your freak flag fly with her and, you know, let her know about all the stuff that you were into?
It came out slowly, a little bit here and a little bit there, because... Yeah. As time grew and we got closer together, she's just, she was that closest confidant that I told her everything, you know, all the skeletons in the closet, all the weird little things.
Yeah.
You know, about the panties. Like.
You like wearing panties too? I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now when the first time you fooled around with her, was she okay with the size of your penis? Was there any conversation about that?
Actually, there was zero conversation about my penis size until I brought up the cuckolding thing.
Yeah.
And the humiliation thing. And I was like, just, you know, let it out. Everything you feel about me and everything you want if you were to sleep with another guy. And that became, at first, just part of a very, you know, rational discussion and her just being honest and open. And then I was like, you know, I kind of enjoy the humiliation aspect of it. So, you know, let that fly. And she's a pretty creative lady.
Right. Well, now, did she know about your earlier experiences with guys? Because I'm assuming that your second guy experience when you were much older was within one of those cuckolding situations with her, right?
Yes. She knew about that. She knew about the bisexuality, about me thinking like I might be bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she was also bisexual as well, or is bisexual.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, she's just sex-wise, she's just open to anything. You know, she's, as we both put it, you know, that try this kind of person, try it twice if you weren't sure the first time.
Yeah. Now, did you guys ever have threesomes with women?
No.
Okay. But she had played with women before. I mean, because I know you guys were with each other a long time. You said she's bi. Like, so is she doing that when she's with you or when you guys are on a break?
She was, like, she's bi, but in more of that sense, like, she just fooled around and experimented, like, in her youth, like, she never really, like, went after women, really. Like,
right.
The only time I ever saw her do anything with a girl was when we were dating when I was, like, 18. And, like, I just sat there and watched her, you know, have sex with her BFF.
Mm-hmm. Was that, like, a drunken kind of a thing? Good news. Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
Yeah, it kind of was. Now that I think about it, recall it. Yeah, we were drinking and smoking weed.
Right. Okay. And she fools around with her best friend in front of you. Now, were you guys dating at the time, or just started to date? And
we were dating.
Right. Well, first of all, why would you break up with this girl? Because she sounds kind of like you guys are very on the same page as far as like
it was
sex life
one of those
concerned.
Things where it was too good to be true. I guess like she's a great and understanding person on one side, but on the other side, she's very passive aggressive and narcissistic.
And a
pathological liar. And I, the ground rules to cuckolding were like I would set up the dates. I was supposed to know everything that was going on, even if I wasn't there to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
And there was a short list of guys that's like, no matter what, you're not having sex with these people. And one of them was her, an ex that she had a baby with. I really fucking hated that guy.
Yeah, I could imagine. Because, and, she must have had that baby when you guys were off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some cheating going on as well, and okay. That's how that child was, procreated. But anyway,
yeah.
So she lied to me and had sex with that guy, and I'm like, yeah. No, cuckolding is already kind of very on the borderline of what most people consider cheating, and when you start lying, that just makes it cheating. So I'm like, no. Like,
how
I'm
did you
here.
Find out?
She's just not very good at covering shit up.
Right. It's almost rude, right? When somebody is so like lackadaisical, you're like, at least like fucking try to lie. You know, it's almost like a second diss on top of it because you're like.
Well, I felt like a Shakespearean sense of betrayal because it's like, you could have me go find a guy or two or three guys and they'll do you right now in my living room. Why are you hiding this shit and fucking that guy?
Well, because there might be, I think sometimes, and I talk about this a lot on my show with that whole, the cheating sex, like there's something about you not knowing, maybe, that was an added turn on to her, you know, like that. That's like, it's very naughty and it's, she could have been
flirting with that disaster.
Yeah, she could have been addicted to that because like, look, she could go like, she took sex so far with you, right? So like what next, you know, what else can she get off on if she's just wired that she needs more or something's going on there and she has her own issues, right? She might have to like fuck guys behind your back to get the next rush, you know?
Perhaps. I don't know. We never got into that in-depth of a discussion about the cheating because I could never get a straight story out of her. So
right. She would never come to
it. Yeah. I just don't communicate with her anymore.
So you guys broke up how long ago?
April of 2019.
Oh, okay. So you've been without her for a while. Now, what happened with that first bi experience with her?
She was going at it with her regular bull, and she kind of hopped off for a moment to catch a breather and a drink of water. That guy could fuck like a porn star. Like, I can't remember exactly what his day job was, but if that ever folded up, he could easily go into the porn community.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, she hopped off of him and just told me to, you know, start going down on him.
She told you to?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So she ordered you. You're submissive. You like that role, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, ma'am.
She was into being the dom?
Yeah. And I encouraged that. I told her that's the direction like I wanted to go.
Okay. And that guy, your bull, was cool with it?
Yeah.
So you blew him. Did he do anything to you? I mean, how far did that go with him?
We were kind of like sort of, I guess, like working our way towards something like that happening. But then, again, whatever he did for a living, like he wasn't a regular around this area. He was just here for business for like 6 months, I think almost a year. And then he had to move.
Right.
And then so like, you know, we had to start again and looking for a suitable bull.
How did you find him?
Craigslist.
Yeah, the good old
when
Craigslist,
personals
right?
Used to be a thing.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like pretty much right before they shut down the Craigslist personals.
Right. And so what did you guys put out? Like you were a couple looking for a bull, cuckold situation?
I put out that we were a couple. She was, sexy BBW brunette. And that I was a little micro penis sissy who couldn't satisfy my girl.
Right.
And we needed a well-endowed bull. And we got a million offers. The first guy we tried to have fun with, oh my God, that was fucking, did not work out well.
What happened?
But, most men like talk a big game about, how good they are and how big they are. And he had like a pretty darn big penis.
Yeah.
Not as big as the regular guy we had, but
yeah.
A whole lot bigger than me. And he came over and, to anyone who's looking to get into cuckolding and looking for a bull, when you ask for pictures, also be sure to include the face, because he showed, from the neck down and had a good-looking body and a good face, a good-looking body and a good penis, but then turned out to be, a Mr. Rogers-looking older gentleman.
Oh, really?
And then I swear to God, had this condom that, Jesus Christ, he must have got off a cigarette girl at a fucking speakeasy or something, because it was a brand I'd never seen before. It must have traveled through time. And then he has sex with her for about 5 minutes and then comes. I'm like, dude, if I wanted her to be disappointed, I could have done that myself.
Right. Oh, he was probably just way too horny for that whole scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't like a professional bull. I think a lot of regular guys probably would have came in 5 minutes too. You know what I mean? Maybe the first time. He might have been better after a couple times, But I get that. So he was a lot older than you were looking for. So what was it about this bull, if you got thousands of people that, submitted to you, why did this guy stand out? What was it about him, the one you chose?
One, physically, my girl found him attractive. He was super well endowed.
Yeah.
In our exchanges, through, email and, eventually then to text and stuff. He just sounded very professional. He had done this before and he just didn't sound cocky. He just sounded very professional. He would go in there and, give her exactly what she needed and then, out the door he'd be. And that's exactly what he was. He kept it very strictly on the level. Very, very good dude.
Well, you found a really great situation, right? Because sometimes I think it's hard to find that perfect scenario, right? And he became your regular. Now, so was he married or anything? Was this a secret thing that he was doing? Was he a single guy? How old was he?
Turned out he was very much a professional. He was a little bit older than us. I think maybe 45. Single. He had been married in the past, was divorced, single now, and pretty much a master of a den of women just all around the area that he traveled through for work. He could dial up women to just and order them around and they would.
Right. And now how did you know he was bi ahead of time?
No, I didn't know ahead of time. And again, that was just kind of a spur of the moment thing. I didn't even think that would happen. And she's just suck his dick. And I'm like, yes, mommy, that's what I called her.
Uh-huh, right.
And I went down on him for a little while and cleaned her juices off of him. And then they went back at it. And then once he came in her, I cleaned her out.
Right.
I went down on her. And then I'd get to have sex with her once she was all stretched out.
Right, from him. Now, did you hook up with him on multiple occasions, or is it just that one time?
No, several times over the entire period that he was in our area. We'd shoot for about twice a month. Sometimes it was more than that. Sometimes it was less, kind of depending on everyone's schedule,
Yeah. And now, did you ever do anything more than oral with him?
No. Again, we were kind of sort of working toward that. She was kind of hinting towards... talking to him about wanting to see him fuck me and dominate me.
Yeah.
And I was into it and then kind of a little wary because Jesus Christ, this guy is really big and I ain't had anything up there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
People split me in two.
Uh-huh.
I was honestly amazed that she could take it.
Right.
That watching it that first time was a real eye-opener about my girlfriend.
How big was he?
9.5 inches and as thick as my wrist.
Wow. Humongous.
Yes. Like I said, he would, he would fare very well if he started doing porn.
Yeah, because that's not the average. The average guy is pretty regular size, you know? I mean, they used to say that the average is 6 to 8, but I think it's 4 to 6.
Yeah, as I say, a lot of what I've looked up is in like the 4.5 to 6.25 range is what I hear a lot, basically.
Oh, that's what they say now? Because I remember people saying, oh, average is 6 to 8. And I was like, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think the average is like you said, 4 to, like I always thought it was like around 4 to 6, right?
I think the average black guy might be like 6 to 8.
But this guy was 9, and your girl could take it every which way. Was she like a 3-input girl?
Yes, she totally was. I had no idea she was such a size queen though, because we had pretty darn good sex. I wouldn't say it's mind blowing, nothing like her, you know, no Dear Penthouse letters here, but good satisfying sex. And yeah, I knew my shortcomings, so like I made sure to like learn as much as I could about oral and just being attentive to a lady's needs. So if I'm pretty darn good, but you know, obviously sometimes a lady just needs a big dick.
Right, but she was cheating on you through the whole relationship, because you didn't open it up to cuckolding until 2018, is that correct?
Yeah, until the end. Yeah, and it was the cheating that kind of brought that up, because then I started looking up like cheating porn and then like cuckolding, and I was like, and it wasn't like the sex with another guy that like got on my nerves. It was lying.
Of course, and, yeah, there's that's
so like I was like, you know, if we can eliminate the lying and the deception, I would have no problem with her having sex with other guys, because like I'm just a realist. Like even outside of cuckolding, I'm just a realist. Like women have needs, and unfortunately one of those needs, I got the short end of the stick, so
right,
got to contract out.
Right, you'd be fine with it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless somehow there's a lady, an adult woman out there with a very tiny vagina who wants to hook up, and then we'd be a perfect pair.
Right. Well, I think, listen, you and your girl must have had really good chemistry too, right? I think when you have chemistry with somebody, you know, that adds to things, right? Because I know I have things that I'm specifically into physically for a guy, but like I've met guys that I had like intense chemistry, and so whatever they brought to the table was good enough for that time because I was so fucking into them, right? So you and her must had really good chemistry. That was probably obviously there for a long time.
Pretty good chemistry with quite a few sex partners. Like I only, like thinking back, like I had 2 experiences where a lady was like just unhappy with the size and actually just mentioned it. One was actually pretty darn humiliating. Now that I think back on it, kind of a turn on, but I wasn't in the humiliation kink at the time.
Why? What happened?
This girl at my work was hitting on me for quite a while. And I was a little shy about hooking up with her because I wasn't comfortable with my body yet.
Yeah.
I hadn't accepted, you know, who I am.
Yeah.
And so finally, like, I really liked her, and she was really darn good looking. So we finally did hook up and started dating and had sex a couple times. And I was on my way home from work in a hurry to shower and get ready. And, you know, I had flowers and a present. I was going to take her on a really nice date. And her best friend, her best friend called me and said her friend was breaking up with me because I had a tiny dick.
But how did she know? I mean, had you fucked her yet?
The girl I was dating, yes, we'd had sex a couple times.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, twice. Okay. 2 or 3 times, I think.
All right, but let me ask you this, though, before you heard that from her best friend, did you feel like she got turned on, that everything was okay? Well, you know, because you had done it already, and she didn't give you any sort of hint of the fact that she was unhappy?
I never got a hint like she was straight up unhappy, but I did get that feeling like she was walking away not totally satisfied. I'm like, oh, I should probably step it up a notch and try something different.
Right. Okay. So her best friend calls you up and says...
Yeah. Because she didn't have the nerve to do it, so she had her best friend do it.
Oh, how old was she at the time?
Mid-20s.
Was there any texting going on? Because that's like something that you could do via text, right? Just, you know, I think people do shit like that just to get out of it. You know, they use text, and that's why text is so great.
She could have texted me herself. But she didn't even do that. She had her best friend call me.
Oh, my God. And then you had to work with her still?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice and awkward.
Yeah, I could imagine. Did you continue to stay friends?
No. We were professionally courteous to each other, and that was about it.
Right. Okay. But so is this around the time that you date this girl that you were with? Because, I mean, how many other girls have you been with? You said you had...
Me and the main girlfriend, the one that we're together for a long time, we were on and off quite a bit. Like 9 out of 10 times, it was like a mutual splitting. Like her life was going one direction and mine another.
Yeah.
Mine usually in chaos. So like I dated like quite a few different ladies in between, in our off times.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever do any kind of like crazy things with them? Were you submissive with them? And
no, a lot of that was straightforward sex. Like I always had the panty fetish thing. That shit started out when I was way young.
And now let's talk about that. When did that start? When you were young?
That started pretty much as soon as I was old enough to realize there's a difference in men and women's underwear. Because I had two older sisters.
Right.
God, I want to say maybe around 8 to 10
is
when I started noticing my sister's underwear was way more interesting than mine. Mm-hmm. And I started snagging theirs. And then I got caught a little bit later and had a very embarrassing conversation with my parents that I don't even remember.
Right. Oh, my God. I can imagine you probably blocked it out.
I never really stopped. Like, I would collect panties, either stealing them or buying them. Like, once online shopping really became a thing and I got a credit card, I started doing that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'd get a mass of panties and other stuff and then throw it away and then start all over again. And one time I had a girlfriend find a thong in my closet and break up with me because she thought I was cheating.
Totally. I know. I saw that once on like 90 Day Fiancé or some show that I was watching, and the girl found like a bra or panties in her boyfriend's dresser, and there was this whole big fight, and he was like, I was like, you know what? What people don't understand is that it could be his, you know, and I only know that from doing my show. I would think exactly like your girlfriend thought before I started talking to guys for 6 years and they're telling me their deepest secrets. You know, but
I kind of wished I'd told her the truth. Like I was not brave enough yet to do that. I kind of really wish I told her the truth, because she was a really amazing young woman, and just knockout gorgeous. Even if she was half as good looking, like, you'd date her anyway just for the personality. It's just an awesome woman.
Like, did you actually admit to her? Like, did you actually lie and say, oh yeah, that was somebody else as I was cheating? Or she just, you didn't?
No, it was sort of one of those government operations where I can neither confirm nor deny anything.
Yeah. But she just assumed it was another girl and dumped you.
Yeah, I tried playing it off like it was one of hers. I was like, isn't that one of yours? And she's like, obviously, you know, she was a very petite, small girl, and obviously, like, the panties I wear are going to be quite a bit bigger.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she
yeah.
just kind of thought I was banging some fat chick.
Oh my God, hilarious.
And I really wish I had told her the truth, because God, like, she was barely 18. I actually picked her up using the cheesiest, most retarded pickup line. And she was just an awesome girl.
Right. And how long were you dating when she found that?
Oh, almost a year.
Right. And she was cool with your micro penis. You guys had good chemistry, good sex.
Yeah, she was one of the many girls that just, like, the conversation never came up. She saw my penis and just, I don't know what was going on in her head. Either she thought it was too small and just didn't care and liked it, other things about me more.
Yeah.
Or what. But we had really darn good sex and she came a lot. Right. I actually got her to try anal. One good thing about having a small penis, it is very easy to talk women into anal.
Right, of course. Yeah.
And she loved it.
Mm-hmm. It's probably feels better. It's not so, you know, you don't have to be so turned on, because if you're going to take a big dick up your ass, like, you just really have to relax and loosen up. But, you know, to take a little thing, you know, it's like a finger, right? Like, your penis is kind of like a one finger.
Yeah. The main girl that I dated for a long time, she put, like, it's like getting finger fucked by someone like with very big hands.
Right.
Very big fingers.
Yeah, like a thick finger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now your parents, do you remember? I know that you say you don't remember the conversation, but how did they catch you in panties? Did they catch you wearing them? Did they catch you stealing them?
My sister caught me stealing them and she turned me into my parents.
Right. And then they had a conversation with you, like, what the fuck?
Which I thought was kind of hilarious. Like, she was so quick to turn me in when it was sort of her, like, she always used to bully and be mean to me. Like, she's just a really bad person.
Your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she dressed me up in girls' clothes a few times. And, you know, dresses and panties and all that kind of stuff. And that was part of, like, why I said, I kind of like this. But, of course, I knew. I was like, I should act like I don't like this.
Yeah. But then it's interesting that she, like, would do all that to you. And then when she saw you stealing the stuff, she, like, ratted you out. You would think, you know, she could have been the one that, you know, put the idea in your head.
Yeah, well, she's just a bully and anything to get me in trouble.
Right. And now, are you close with your family now that you're older?
No, I don't. I speak to my oldest sister, not the one who bullied me. She was the middle sister.
What about your parents?
Mom passed away about 6 years ago now. Me and her were like not very close. Like, she was a great best friend, but not a mom.
Right.
And my dad, I haven't spoke to him in like 12 years, right. 13 years.
Right. Now, so have you been with any women since you broke up with the girl, you know, your long-term girl a year ago?
I have had two relationships.
Uh-huh.
They were lasted short term. Surprisingly, none of them had anything to do with, like, them not liking the panty thing, because I've just decided to start being more open about that. I bring that up pretty early and let ladies know, like, if we ever get to, like, disrobing, this is what you're probably going to find.
Right. And how have you ever had girls, like, get completely turned off, or are most of them okay with it?
The two that I did date were just all right with it. One girl, like, she was just okay with it. She didn't want to, like, really, like, participate in, like, the panty thing or, like, humiliation or any of that stuff. And we ended up breaking up due to religious differences.
Right.
She's, like, very strongly religious, and I'm an atheist.
Uh-huh.
Who has, like, sinner and heretic tattooed on me, so that didn't work pretty well for her family.
Right.
And the other girl just broke up because conflicting schedules. We couldn't see each other enough.
Right. But they were both okay, right? I mean, but did you ever have anyone that wasn't okay?
Well, none of those I never actually dated and got to bed.
Right.
Got into bed with. They were, like, mostly, like, through Tinder apps. You know, I'd get to explaining personal stuff about me, and I'm like, oh, hey, and, like, you know, I just kind of nonchalantly bring it up lately anymore. I'm like, yeah, if you're kind of, like, into well and bad guys, I'm not your cup of tea.
Right, so you put that out there, but you also put the panties thing out there too?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Before you even meet up?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, I don't want my time wasted, and I don't want to waste their time either. You know, I don't shove that in their face, like, you know, in the first few minutes of a conversation on Tinder or whatever, but I kind of let that fly early on so that if I'm not their cup of tea, they know right away, and, you know, I don't waste their time.
No, and I ask that because I think, you know, it's helpful for other people, right, who have these maybe secrets or fetishes that they're, you know, afraid to put out there. When is the correct time, you know? And so you do it, like, really straight off the bat that you're not well endowed, right? And also the panties thing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so you've had two girls recently that were cool with it, right? And you dated them.
Yeah. One lady was like, she didn't really like want to get like into it, but she was just okay with it. She just like, it is what it is. And she liked my personality enough. She's like, well, let's see how this works out. And that was the one that we broke up for different religious views.
Mm-hmm.
The other girl, the one who our schedules conflicted too much, she was actually kind of really into it. We even went panty shopping.
Oh, wow. That was
cool.
She got
me a few nice items.
And so why did it not work out with her? Oh, because of the scheduling conflict, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She worked a lot out of town, and I work a lot of demanding hours in town. So most of our relationship was just done by phone. And we didn't get to, like, meet up and spend enough quality time together. And then she started plans to kind of move because her company was taking her somewhere else. And so, you know, that one just... We parted on good terms. We're still, like, Facebook friends and say hi once in a while.
Right. That's cool. Now, are you open and honest about, like, your, like, the schizophrenic stuff and the bipolar?
Yeah, I'm pretty much an open book, really.
Yeah, that's great. Did you come to be that way through therapy, or were you always that way, like, super honest?
I was very embarrassed and thought I was just some weirdo freak for some of the shit I was into, and then body shy about penis size. It was through therapy and through just coming to the conclusion that, you know, I am what I am. Let's do the best with what I got with this card, you know, with this hand of cards dealt, and
live life, right? I mean, life's short. That's how I look at it, right? So just, and what's interesting, right, and what you're here to say is that it's not like, it seems like in your situation that more women have been accepting than not, right? I mean, it's not like you've put it all out there and you've seen the back of so many girls' heads. Like, a lot of them were like, that's okay. Like, they were accepting.
Yeah, I really have, especially when it comes to the penis thing. Like, I've had, two negative experiences, really.
And you're 38, and it's not like you've only been with one woman. Yeah, I think that that's great. Listen, when I liked that guy, and I was a size queen, and he had a micro penis, and, like, I didn't believe him, but I was, like, I liked him so much that I don't think that would have been a deal breaker. I never was with him, you know, to know, but I never, it wasn't, like, to me when I found that out or when he always talked about it, I was, like, no way. I didn't really believe him because I didn't really know that it existed, but... and he always had girlfriends, long-term girlfriends that he stayed with for years. So, you know, it's not like it's something that no girl would like, right? Because, look, you've had tons of girlfriends. I know my friend that had it. I mean, you know, it's just, it's not a common thing. I had to Google it. I didn't even know that it existed, you know?
Well, yeah, I think it kind of goes back to what there is some truth when people say, like, fashion magazines and pornography and all this stuff kind of really does give people unrealistic expectations of others and their own body.
Right. Of what's really out there. Right.
Yeah.
Like, right. For women, it's right. Like you said, like, it's like how the girls act on porns. Like, you know, they regular girls aren't going to be that professional. Right. What do you now? Have you been with a guy since that bull?
A few random encounters through, a website called FetLife. You've never heard of that one?
Yeah, I've heard of FetLife through my show. So do you have a profile up there, and are you looking for men and women? I mean, what are you advertising on there for looking for?
Mostly that I'm looking for a woman to cuckold me.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, also that I'd entertain guys as well.
Right. And so what are can you explain those experiences? You're the submissive, right? Have you had sex with a guy? Like, have you just done oral?
Not
have you gone further?
Surprisingly, telling other men that you're a virgin and, as far as, actual, like, penetrating sex with a guy tends to actually kind of, like, men just shy away from that, I guess. I have very little experience with guys, and I don't even know what, like, kind of type of guy I like.
You don't?
No. I just know right now all I really know is I kind of like sucking dick, and I'd like to have sex with a guy at least once.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you'd ever date a guy?
I don't know. Like, my reservations mostly have to do with the community I live in.
Right.
I think, like, if I could go to, like, a bigger city...
where it was accepted.
Yeah, probably. Like, why the heck not? Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. Who knows who that special someone is going to be that I'm like, oh my God, I can't live without this person.
Yeah. Like, what does your future look like? I mean, are you looking for a relationship? Do you like to be in relationships as opposed to being single? Or are you happy being single right now? I know it's like a fucking COVID world, but you know.
Oh yeah, the whole pandemic thing really throws a wrench in the gears for just about anything you want to do.
Yeah, but pretend that doesn't exist, right? And what is like?
Yeah, I'd like to be in. Ideally, yes, I'd like to be in a long term, kind of one of those till death do us part relationships with a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that
but also again, like, who knows who that special someone's going to be?
Right. So it could be a guy, but you feel like where you live, it's super conservative, and you wouldn't feel like, okay. Now, does anybody of your friends, I mean, besides that girl, she knew everything about you, right? And the girls that you date, but are you open about who you are with all this, like, stuff with friends and stuff as well? Or is
no, they all think I'm the stereotypical Wyoming male. I hunt, I fish, I collect guns, I go off-roading.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you? Because you're always talking about all these, like, beautiful women that you've dated. So are you, like, super good looking as well?
No, I'm not. That's the thing. Like, if you have a picture of these women next to me,
yeah,
you either think they are really dating down, doing community service, or I paid some of these women.
So how would you always get the hot girls?
I don't even know. I don't have game. I'm not smooth. In fact, I make a joke about the fact that, like, I make game out of not having any game.
Right. That's your game. You don't have game. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, well, that's like, maybe that's like, a game.
The more interested I am in a girl and the more beautiful I find her, the more bundle of fucking nerves and awkwardness I am.
Right.
Like, the girl who found the panties, I can't believe the pickup line I used on her actually worked because it was so stupid and outrageous. I was like, she's never going to call.
What was the pickup line?
Okay. I assumed she was 18. I was like 23 or 24 at the time. I assumed she was 18 to 20 because she was actually working like very late.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, she must be part of the night shift and she must be, you have to be over 18. So started hitting on her and she tells me she's 17. So jokingly, I say, hey, call me on your 18th birthday. And she's like, well, that's in 2 weeks. And I was like, so being even more arrogant, I write down my number. I'm like, you're going to need this. I'm walking away. I'm like, that was the fucking most retarded thing you could ever do. That girl is never going to call you back.
Yeah, but that's not that retarded. That's very direct. That was direct. Girls like that.
Walking away from that, I thought, it's like, oh, my God, mission failed.
Why? Because you gave her the... She's... I mean, why would you think mission failed?
Because, one, I'm a goofy-looking guy at best, and she was, like, knockout hot and, you know, like, just... absolutely gorgeous, and then 18...
Are you really 18. Tall? I'm trying to figure out why girls like you.
No. I'm statistically average. I'm 5'8". I'm about 200 pounds. Kind of a little on the chubby side right now. A little too much quarantine and
Netflix. Yeah, everyone's a little on the chubby side in quarantine, I think. Yeah. Except J-Lo.
Brown hair, brown eyes. Like,
yeah.
I'm like this weird goofy concoction of like Irish, Scottish, Mexican, and Native American mixed together.
Uh-huh. And so what would you put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know, probably 4 or 5.
Are you doing that just because you're into humiliation and you're submissive and like you look down on yourself? I don't know. You have to be more than that to get all these hot girls.
I always do have confidence issues, so I don't know. I guess maybe if you ask the ladies who have dated me, they might say a 6. But
right.
Yeah, I'd say 4 or 5. Personality-wise, I'm at least a 6 or a 7.
Right. Okay.
Because I'm that goofball, you just don't know what's going to happen next when I'm around, especially if there's a party going on.
Well, personality is a lot to women. You know what I mean? I, at least for me, it always has been. And you always see like 10s walking around with 5s. So sometimes it's money. It's funny. You know, like there's a lot of things that add to a guy's sort of swagger for a girl, right?
And, you know, as a stretch, I can always throw in that starving artist thing on the side.
Oh, that's you too? That's you?
Yeah. So I'm a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
Well, trying to be.
Well, have you been a stand-up comedian your whole life?
No. I've always wanted to be. It's only in the about last 5 years that I've really tried.
Okay, because being up on stage is an aphrodisiac, I think, sometimes to women. So you could get off that stage and pick them up, no?
I've taken home a few chuckle sluts.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I mean. So that helps.
Not as many as you think, though. That women say they love funny guys, but results definitely say you still mostly like tall, dark, and handsome, and a huge cock.
Not really, because we never know how big the cock is. Okay, we just don't. You don't really know until you're like. I mean, a lot of girls do that. You know, you feel down there while you're making out with them, but you really don't know if a guy's standing in front of you. A guy has a lot more idea of what a woman's body is when she's standing in front of them, right? Because we wear tight clothes. You could see the shape of our body and everything. But a guy's dick size is very hidden, okay? So women don't know that. But funny goes a long way. I mean, I'm a woman. I think that you might have a skewed sense of things because you have, like, these confident issues and you like to be submissive and you're just, you call yourself a sissy and you're into cuckolding, you know? So I think you probably have a very skewed view of things and that, right?
you'd be accurate in saying that, yeah.
Yeah, so, and so I don't think that you're right, but I really wonder, and so I really wonder what your true score is on 1 to 10, because you do get all these, like, hot girls, and, you know, it's not like you have a ton of cash, right? You you keep putting yourself down, you know, but that's probably a part of, like you said, your confidence issues. Now, are you successful?
I'm not rich, but I'm not broke.
Right. Now, this, have you been with the same therapist for forever?
Because I think it's about 5 years now.
Right, that's great. Did you just start 5 years ago therapy?
Yes.
So was it just 5 years ago that you've been open and honest? Is that when you started to just really put your stuff out?
It's in the last 3 years. Like, first 2 years of therapy were really rough, dealing with some deep, really messed up issues. And then I don't know, after a good 2 years of therapy and a little bit of rehab, I really started coming out of my shell.
Right. Now, what did you go into rehab for? Drugs and alcohol, or just drugs, or just alcohol?
Drugs and alcohol. I had an addiction to prescription painkillers.
Oh, which ones?
Vicodin, fentanyl, and morphine, which whatever I could get my hands on.
I had a surgery recently, and they gave me, and I'm a sober person. I've been sober for like 16 years now, maybe. I don't even know. I can't even count anymore. But so very clean and sober. Like, I don't do anything. And, but for my surgery, they gave me, what the fuck was it? Oxycodone. And holy shit.
Oh, God, that's about to wreck your world.
No, it made me so fucking happy and energetic, and I felt great. And I didn't really put it together until like maybe a week and a half of taking it. I was like, oh, and I was like, and then I had to like stop. I stopped. I was fine anyway. I didn't need it anymore. But, and I was like, oh, I could see why. I went Googling a lot, and then I realized a lot of people have overdosed. You know, a lot of the famous people that you've heard OD'd. Mm-hmm. It's that, and I get it. Because for me, and I think everyone's body is different, but for me, it made me feel fucking great. Like, and I was I don't know what, and I was like, is this how regular people feel? Like, this fucking happy? Like, I never felt happier and up, and I had so much energy, and it was like amazing. And I was like, oh, I could see why people get addicted to this shit, because, you know, and I'm very strong willpower that I was able to stop taking it, but I could see why that's a slippery slope for people.
Yeah, it started when I had knee surgery for a motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
And then I've got rotten luck. I've been hit at the same intersection twice.
No kidding.
But, God. A couple years later down the road, I got into a bad car accident, which that messed up my back. So on top of the knee pain and the back pain, they gave me a bunch of painkillers.
Yeah.
And once the prescriptions ran out, I was already addicted, so I just started buying them off the street.
Right, because they made you feel so good.
Yeah, well, I felt like everywhere I was walking, it felt like I was snuggled up in a nice warm blanket that just came out the dryer, and I was so darn happy.
Yeah, my son likes towels out of the dryer. It's like that. Someone told me that about heroin. I mean, I never did. I always liked upper. I'm like an up person. I know some people like stuff that makes them feel very relaxed and down. You know, for me, what I loved about Oxy is it made me feel very fucking up and energized and great. You know.
I think it depends on your personality. Totally. It's sort of weird. They classify it as a downer.
They do?
Yeah, it's classified as a downer because it gets you low. But really, for me and you and certain other people I've spoken to, it's almost like an upper.
It's a total upper for me.
And it doesn't give you energy in the sense like if you did meth, you're all hyper running around.
Yeah, no.
But it gives you like the mindset where you're like, I feel good. Let's go do shit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I have the opposite reaction to a lot of things. Like, I come out of surgery like being wide fucking awake, and they're like, this is not normal. Like, most people sleep for a day after being under general anesthesia, and I'm like wired from it. So I think, like, you know, there's something maybe off or something. You know, my chemistry is, you know, and maybe it's because I'm an addict. I don't know, but I know that I have a lot of times opposite reactions to things than the majority of people, right? So, yeah, I didn't feel Oxy as a downer. I felt it as a upper, and I really fucking liked it. And I didn't realize how much I liked it until like a week in. But I was like, oh, I get why people, you know, it's like I said, a slippery slope for addicts to be prescribed stuff like that.
Sorry, a lot of people told me like alcohol is also considered a downer. You know, I've been in the bathroom at work doing lines of Vicodin and then chasing it with Jim Beam, and coworkers like, how can you even be awake right now? I'm like, awake? this is what I need to get fucking normal.
Yeah. No, alcohol for me was like, it made me happy. I mean, and I felt up, you know what I mean? It didn't make me down. You know, and there's a lot of sugar in alcohol too. So it gave me energy, right? It wouldn't give me energy when I didn't have it. But if I drank again, I would feel that up again. You know, I was like, to me, downers was like weed, you know, and I was very into weed when I was way younger. But when
I
got
smoking weed.
Yeah, when I got older, I preferred alcohol. And that. Like, I would have been a cokehead if I had the cash and it didn't make me feel so bad afterwards. You know, I never got that into coke, but it was like, I like that feeling of just feeling up. I don't want to feel that fucked up. Like, I don't want my brain hallucinating shit or not being, you know, weed makes, I'm like a stoned person naturally. My brain thinks like weird things regularly that I smoke weed and I just really, it's too much. But because I like the up. What?
A lot of people disagree with me, and my counselor even has begrudgingly agreed that I might be right. But marijuana is still one of the best things I've found for my mental health disorders.
No, I think a lot of people are starting to believe that and understand that, and people are talking about that. I mean, but I think, you know, marijuana, especially nowadays, because you could go and buy it and shit, like there, it comes in all different like varieties, right? And I think it's important to find the right kind, right? That's what people say.
Yeah. I don't have a huge wealth of knowledge about pot other than I really like smoking it, and I can ID a good looking bag of weed from some crap. But there's two different basic kinds, cannabis sativa and cannabis something else, and I always forget which one's which, but one gives you more of a mental high, and one gives you more of a body high that, like, relaxes you. You know, if you got, like, a bad back or bad knees or whatever, you smoke that, you feel all right.
So which one do you like?
I like the one that gives you more of a mental high, so I can, you know, smoke a bowl of that after work, play a video game or two, and then go to bed.
And so it just relaxes you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you got
not to think so much.
Right. And so how long you've been clean and sober though? So what you've been clean and sober from is alcohol and drugs?
Alcohol and prescription painkillers. I've been clean of those since 2016.
Right. So what you do now, and the only thing that you like to do, is you just smoke a little weed at the end of your day to relax you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, no different than someone who has a cold beer at the end of a hard day.
Yeah, totally. And if it works for you, I mean, everyone has a different program and a different sort of.
I think my counselor would even agree more if it was actually in a state where it's legal.
Right. Maybe. Did your counselor help you get clean and sober from all the other stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through, I don't even struggle to say if you call it rehab, but it was counseling through her, and then through my psychiatrist, I went through a doctor at like a pain clinic where I ended up taking Suboxone, which is sort of like methadone. You know how they give methadone to heroin addicts to taper them off?
Yeah.
Suboxone works the same way for people who are on prescription opiates.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So you take that, and it's kind of sort of gives you like a tiny buzz, like just enough to take the itch away pretty much.
Right. So you're gradually getting off of it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that you're not
crashing,
jonesing for it.
Yeah.
And then also on the flip side of that, it prevents you actually from getting high if you try to, like, drink or take any other illicit narcotics.
Oh, interesting.
Just, like, block that out. So while you're on that, there's no point in trying to cheat.
Yeah, it's funny. When I took the oxycodone, and I'm like, and I went Googling a lot about it because I was, like, so into it. And then I stopped taking it for, like, 1 or 2 days, and I felt like shit, like, so bad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, like I get, and people were like, you couldn't have got addicted to it like after like a week and a half, like it wouldn't have that. I'm like, no, I am telling you, when you go from feeling what you feel like that to feeling like regular, I don't know if it was just the switch off from just feeling regular to feeling so fucking happy, or if it was an actual physical thing of not having that week and a half of like having it every day, all day long, you know, but I definitely crashed and it felt terrible. And I was looking forward to taking one a week later when I had to do something for the surgery that was going to be, but the only reason why I didn't do it is because I'm like, I never want to go through that, having to be back on it and feel good, and then having that day where I feel so terrible, you know, that those couple of days that I felt so terrible, I had to get used to being normal again. You know, it's kind of like when I quit smoking, I'd never smoke again because I'd never want to have to go through the awful time of quitting something. That's always the worst and the most painful,
yeah,
right?
I wish I'd never started smoking cigarettes.
You smoke now?
Yeah, I do. I've smoked for, I don't know, like 26 years.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I quit. I smoked for 15 years. I quit on my 30th birthday. I haven't smoked for 22 years, 21 years. But that was, I'm a good quitter. I have very good willpower. Like, and if I, you know, I quit alcohol, I quit drinking, I quit smoking.
I've got
quit
shit for willpower.
You have good willpower? You quit
no,
a lot
I've
of things.
No, I got shit for it.
What?
I'm so easily addicted and like, kind of like, I just jump from stuff to stuff. Like,
yeah, but that's
started out doing meth when I was really young, and then I quit that, and then quit marijuana for a while, and then picked up an alcohol addiction and a painkiller addiction, and then now went back to marijuana. So,
well, listen, an addiction isn't about the drug; it's about, you know, whatever it is you're trying to like push down or not feel, right? It's about, to me, it was always about me not feeling comfortable with my feelings, you know, and having to learn how to feel comfortable. What?
It's all escape for me as well. I mean, I ended up addicted to a multiplayer online video game for about 2 years just because I could hide in that world and escape from mine.
Yeah, I used to get brain tumors or like breast cancer. Like I was like a hypochondriac. You know, that was just another form of it. You know, it was just a form of checking out of reality and not dealing with my feelings and just creating this thing. It's like, a, you know, worry. Worry is you something you could be addicted to. It is like an anchor, right? It takes you out of yourself and into this like fucking fake place. You know, it was like all these fake diseases I had. It's the same shit, you know? So I think that a lot of people, they call them like dry drunks. You know, if you're not really dealing with the underlying stuff, and that stuff takes a long time. Listen, you're not schizophrenic and have all this stuff on you if, you know, without having gone through probably some pretty horrifying things, right, at some point in your life. So, and that stuff takes a long time to unpack, right? It's not like the movies. You don't get better overnight, right? But doing therapy and, you know, getting yourself off of things and, you know, being sober as you could be while you're going through therapy and working through it, all of that really helps, you know, but it takes time.
It does. You know, yeah, it takes a long time. I don't know how long I'll ever be in therapy or if I'll ever stop, you know.
Yeah, that's okay. Therapy's great. Especially, listen, you found a good therapist. You've been with that therapist for 5 years. That's very hard to find. It's like finding the one, right, to date. It's no different.
Oh, yeah. She's a miracle worker. Like, I don't know how much she gets paid, but I'm pretty sure it's not enough.
And that's hard to find, I'm telling you. I think it's like the 90-10 rule or 80-20. You know, most people are garbage out there, but there's like, you know, a select few that are really good in each profession, whether it's you're looking for a hairdresser or a fucking therapist, you know. So you found a really good one. You're very lucky. And with all the stuff you've been through and all the stuff you're dealing with, you know, working through, it's so great that you found that right one. So you never want to give that shit up. You know, but
I know. I'm going to hang on to her for dear life.
Yeah, no, it's great. And like, you know, I don't know. We've been really all over the place on this call. We touched upon, you have so much stuff to talk about that I'm like, I tried to get it all in and I only have an hour. So we touched a little bit on a lot of stuff, you know. But I think it's interesting because it gives people like a good view of like your whole life. What I think is most interesting about you is how honest you've been about all your stuff that you're dealing with. And what I think is also interesting that people will like the takeaway is that, you know, women have been completely accepting of exactly who you are, and you just put it out there right away. It's a new thing for you, but it does go to show that other people maybe could do the same thing, you know, and because I would assume that that's very freeing for you in your life to just be who you are.
Also, just telling the truth all the time, it's really easier to remember.
Oh my God, I know. Once every now and then I get a liar on my show, you know, and I kind of want to say, and I don't really, but like, you know, because they're just struggling to tell their stories. And it's like, you know what? Like, if you would just fucking tell the truth, it's really not that hard. You know, a lot of times people are telling me they're nervous to be on my show, and I'm just like, you know, all you have to do is tell the truth. And that's really fucking easy, right? Because I'm going to ask all the questions. But if somebody's not and they're trying to think things up, that's exhausting. You know, just like your girlfriend that lived all those fake lies and she was always, you know, that's a whole other thing. I mean, she needs her own therapist, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's always a lot easier to just be honest and be truthful and put your stuff out there. But so thanks for being honest and truthful on my show. And
you know, thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
Yeah, I will let you know when this airs. I'm not really sure. I have so many fucking tapes. I'm starting to think maybe I'm going to start airing 2 episodes a week because I just am so backed up with episodes that I haven't aired people that called me like in March and April still.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because
you do have quite the backup.
Yeah, and I have like 10 to tape like next week, you know, so I'm just like, yeah, I don't know what. And so people wait sometimes a long time. But, you know, yours touched on so many different things that I haven't had on, like because the micro penis and stuff. So you'll probably get on sooner than later. I'll let you know when it's going to air. And thanks so much for calling in, Chad.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I think this has been quite wonderful. This has been awesome. I can't wait to see this on YouTube.
Awesome.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, let me know what you think after you listen to it.
Yeah, I'll be sure to let you know.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Chad. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. So that's it, guys. That's my talk with Chad. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Thanks so much for tuning into my show. I always love hearing from my listeners. If you're on YouTube, comment below. If not, and you want to send me a message, DM me on Instagram at Strict Anonymous. If you love my show, give me a 5-star review and don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for tuning in.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.